Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
All right, here's the punt by Ryan Rako.
Oh, got it.
Ball is blocked.
Got it.
Oh, no. Touch it. The Bengals are going to have the ball.
Oh, no.
You can't touch it when it's blocked beyond the line of scrimmage, and the Bengals are going to have it at the 45.
Oh, somewhere Leon Lett. Saying, I'm off the hook.
That's the exact play without the snow.
Oh, no. That did not just happen.
That did just happen.
This one cut deep for the Cowboys fans. Thank you to the Cowboys Radio Network. When you're bringing up Leon Lett in the snow, bad things happened. And bad thing happened last night for the Cowboys on special teams. They block a punt, first play inside the two-minute warning. But when the block punt is in front of the line of scrimmage, well, now it's just a regular old punt. And so if you touch it and then the other team recovers it, it's their ball, and it was the Bengals' ball. And a few plays later, it's what else? Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase, 40-yard touchdown. Bengals leave Dallas as a winner. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray and Andrew Perloff. And so we've got a lot of the Dallas stuff to unpack today, Pearl. But if I could give one silver lining to the Cowboy fan this morning.
Oh, boy. I think I know where you're going.
The Eagles and the 49ers are both dealing with major wide receiver drama. So their two biggest rivals also have things in disarray in their own houses. And so for the Eagles side of things, we are so pleased to be joined by Spike Eskin, who, of course, is the host of the afternoon show on WIP. He's also the host of the Brandon Graham Show, which is very much in the news today. He is also our former boss. Good morning, Spike. How are you?
Good morning, Maggie and Andrew. I'm doing great. How are you?
We had to call the bat phone on this one, dude. We had to call in the big guns, and thank you for doing this today. I know you're busy.
No worries. I saw EJ's phone pop up on my call last night at 8 o'clock, and I was like, oh, I know what this is.
It wasn't Nick's 76ers smack talk. No, it's a little early for that. It's what happened yesterday on the Brandon Graham Show. But first, let's set this up. Before we turn to the Eagles side, you watched the Dallas Cowboys special teams gaffe yesterday. You're hosting an afternoon show, one of the Cowboys' biggest rivals. Hmm. What are you going to be taking away from that today as an Eagle person?
Well, our world is a little bit on fire, actually. So we've been saying since before the year that the Cowboys season smelled like one of those seasons that everything just fell apart. You know, the weird contract stuff in camp and Jerry being weird, and it has lived up to it. So I think we've been sort of, we're like 6 weeks after our Dallas Cowboys eulogy. This is just This is, I guess, more fun to look at. Unfortunately, this gets them a better draft pick, which I wouldn't cheer for. I'd maybe want them to get a couple more wins, but this season had all the markings of one of those seasons.
Wait, but you know, Spike, on the topic of vibes, you have to understand some backdrop of this. Like, Maggie has been secretly resenting how good the Eagles are and bragging about Juan Soto, and therefore she was thrilled to find out about the negative news that came out on your show yesterday.
You know, I was amazed by it. I just was surprised this is still going on. So let's set up what's going on in Philadelphia. After the team escapes with a win against the Carolina Panthers, AJ Brown, wide receiver, was complaining about the passing game, right? And complaining the passing game has not been robust enough. And I think, Spike, we saw this last year, but I think a lot of people would have written that off as, hey, listen, AJ Brown's kind of complaining, wide receiver complaining about targets, like not exactly news at 11. It's a little weird if it's after a win, but again, wide receivers can be pretty mercurial. So then yesterday happens, and Brandon Graham, who I think is one of the most respected players, even outside of Philadelphia, Brandon Graham is known to be a great guy. He has the Brandon Graham Show, which is hosted by you and Howard Eskin. And let's just play the clip for the audience because we haven't played it yet. Here's Graham saying the relationship between AJ Brown and quarterback Jalen Hurts has gotten worse, and he puts the onus on AJ Brown.
I know that one is trying, and I mean, 11 could be a little better with how he responds to things, and they was friends before this. It's like, man, but things have changed, and I understand that because life happens.
Okay, Spike, you're there on the set with him. He's saying this, and you're thinking what?
I was pretty shocked. I mean, Brandon, we do the show with Brandon every week for an hour, and you mentioned it. He is a great guy. He is very adept at doing this. He's been doing this for a long time, so he's really good at talking for a few minutes and not really saying anything incendiary. So it's usually an hour of asking Brandon something and knowing what sort of answer you're going to get out of him. But it really seemed like yesterday that he came in with a purpose to talk about this. I mean, it was really that clip. It's really the first 25 minutes of the show. And honestly, throughout the show, I would ask him about something else to try to like get off of this, and he would bring it back to this. So I think he has been, so I was shocked, right? Like, I was like, whoa, I didn't expect it to happen. And it's more than just that clip. He was obviously very disappointed that AJ did this in the press rather than just talking to Jalen. That was his biggest message. This is too important to bring this to the media, the irony there, but doing it in the media, but which I think he has realized that was a mistake. So I guess, he was very disappointed that it was public, and he came in with a mission to talk about that. And I was shocked that he did so.
Spike, did Brandon Graham have any allegiance? Was he on Team Jalen or Team AJ Brown? Is there Team Jalen and Team AJ Brown? Does everybody know about this and sort of were getting more clued into it as the public?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, this sort of whispers of this started happening last year. And I don't know that anything was confirmed, but enough people were talking about it and it was quiet. You know, AJ signed that extension before training camp or right around training camp. And it's been largely quiet, but right around the bye week, they just changed the offense, right? Like, they went into the bye week, they said, we're turning the ball over too much. And they went from, that's why Saquon Barkley has the most touches in the league. And, you know, at the last 4 weeks, I would say, it seems like Jalen's throwing for like 100 yards every week. And AJ actually tweeted something last week and deleted it real quick. And we tried not to make a big deal out of it because we knew how fans would react, but it was a weird moment, just sort of like, oh, you know, this is coming. They're winning, but the wide receiver's not getting the ball ever. You know, one makes $30 million, one makes 25. I guess it's not all that surprising.
Spike Eskin is joining us. He's the host of the afternoon show on WIP. He's also the host of the Brandon Graham Show, which is going to get in your timeline today if you're on social media because it's exploding.
Dude, that show never gets into anyone's timeline. We do that show for an hour every day and nothing gets said. And I walked away from last night. I was like, what the heck just happened there?
Okay, so there's more to this because, and why I think this is important for people all across the country, not just the Philadelphia dirty laundry, while that's salacious and fun and we've got more questions for you about what's actually going on between these two. But why this is important for everyone across the country is that the Philadelphia Eagles are a Super Bowl contender. They've won 9 games in a row. But Spike, I ask you, and we were racking our brains trying to come up with this, have you ever heard of a Super Bowl champion team that is where the wide receiver and the quarterback really didn't get along? And again, we have more cuts for this about Brandon Graham saying how personal this is and it's beef and this and that. Is this something that could derail what is an extremely promising season for Philadelphia?
Oh, sure it could. I mean, I don't have any doubt it could. I mean, but I think to the other conversation of that is if they can't pass the ball, that will also derail their hopes of winning a Super Bowl. Like you don't win Super Bowls throwing for 100 yards every week too. So I think everybody knew after that game, the passing game is an issue and has to be addressed. The relationship thing, you're right. I mean, there have been Super Bowl contending teams that I think you've seen itchy, you know, relationships mm-hmm. between a wide receiver and a quarterback. I can't think of one where they obviously flat out didn't like each other. So this might not be, it might not be the best sign, I think is fair to say.
Spike, after your interview, Brandon Graham went to a charity event with Connor Barwin and Chris Long and sort of tried to bring back everything he said to you. First of all, I know that I feel like you should be good friends with Connor Barwin and Chris Long. Were you invited to this event, or was it too late for you to go out?
So I'm not good friends with either. I know Connor Barwin well enough. Yes, he has a foundation called the Make the World Better Foundation, and that's what it was for. So yes, I got the invite, but that show doesn't end until late on Monday night, and I've had enough. So I went home. So but, God bless Connor's charity. Does great work.
But. What do you think
Spike's
about Brandon?
The opposite of a vampire. He never goes out at night.
No, I just want to go home. My whole object for the day is eventually going home.
What did you think of Graham's sort of attempt at clearing up the damage?
I'm not surprised by it. You said it at the top, Maggie. Brandon Graham is an excellent, excellent, excellent guy. I mean, ever since I interviewed him his first training camp, you know, 15 years ago or whatever. And he was a sweet guy then. And now he's a great guy, but he's also a team leader. And one thing that he has said over the last several weeks is how much he likes this team. Like he's proud. It's a very group. It's an interesting defense because it's a lot of young guys and it's not a lot of superstar level guys. And they've risen to being really, really good. And the energy from him for the last 2.5 months has been very, very good for Brandon. You can just sort of see it in his eyes. And I think he was really disappointed that it might be derailed and he's not on the field to do anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, I got to be honest, like this is not a great sign because we've seen the Eagles win a lot of games and it fell apart seemingly because, at least in part, because of personality conflicts. And I got to be honest, Spike, and again, I think this is why this is a story, not just in Philadelphia, but throughout the country, is because look at the Lions. That's a team where it seems like there's never been a closer team. And I know that everyone says that in family and all the Dan Campbell post-game locker room things, but I think they're believing that. And I don't know if football comes down to it, but I got to be honest. I think that as a coaching, if it's a coaching matchup, I think Nick Sirianni might lose that to Dan Campbell. And also now with the vibes thing, like, are you concerned at all that the Lions sort of, I don't know, just like their aura right now is like, we are so together, we can't be beat. And now here we are December in the Philadelphia Eagles, because now every offensive player is going to be asked about this today and probably every defensive player the next time the media comes in.
Yeah, I mean, this is the most important week Nick Sirianni's probably had as coach of the Eagles, you know, especially with what happened last year, you know, and I think it was more than personalities last year. I don't think they were actually that good. And I think they got a little bit exposed and it was a year after losing the Super Bowl. I think there were a lot of factors. It was part of it. But I think Sirianni, if he's not going to call plays on either offense or defense, and I think he's a good coach, his job has to be personality management, right? Like he has to make sure that the vibe in the locker room is good. And when bad things happen, that he puts out the flame. So him this week leading into their toughest opponent left on their schedule, which is Pittsburgh on Sunday. I mean, this is just a massive, massively important week for Sirianni. As far as like the Lions being together, I'm just more worried about having to play them in Detroit where they're awesome as opposed to playing them in Philadelphia. Everybody's, the vibes are good until you're down 14-0, you know, like if the Eagles can get past this, I think there's a chance they could be stronger for it. There was a lot of chaos around the bye week and the Cleveland game and Sirianni and all that kind of stuff. And they rose up and they got past it. So I think there's a chance they could be, but it's also the chance it could be the beginning of like the tugging on the sweater, you know, the strand on the sweater that unravels the whole thing. So I don't know. Should be fun.
Spike, do you think Saquon has a chance to get the rushing record? Do they? You mentioned he has the most touches. Do they sort of hold him back a little bit, save him for the playoffs, maybe derail the MVP run a bit?
We've debated this a lot about what they should do. He has to average about 121 a game for the last four games to break Dickerson's record. I think what will be really interesting is going to that last week of the season against the Giants, if that game doesn't mean anything to the Eagles, whether he plays and whether they go for it, depending on how far away he is, especially against the Giants.
Yeah.
You know, I think it could make for a lot of drama. I think he probably cares about it. But as far as like getting his workload down, I think that ship has sailed. You know, he's going to, if they play two playoff games, it's going to be over 400 carries. He's going to be limited next year. All this stuff is real. You might as well just go for it, I think.
Spike, we've kept you for a while, so thank you. Two more, one sports, one non-sports. So, okay. Like, the what's the term? $20,000 question? $30,000? Yeah. Whatever that game show was. The question, just taking this all the way back to Brandon Graham again, the Brandon Graham Show, which Spike is the host of, making all types of news yesterday because Brandon Graham aired out some dirty laundry between quarterback Jalen Hurts and wide receiver A.J. Brown. What is the issue? What's going on between these two? Do you know? Do you have any idea?
I don't. Well, I guess I heard nothing like for sure that I know, I guess. You hear, once things start going bad last year, you start hearing everybody's talking and there's like little rumors you hear about certain things. I think ultimately it just comes down to wide receivers is weird position where you can be the most talented player on the field, but you only touch the ball six times in a game. Whereas, and there's Saquon's getting the ball 23 times. Jalen touches the ball every time. And here's AJ Brown, who's probably the best player on offense of all of them. And he gets the ball four times in a game. And I think it just makes those guys crazy. And I think it really just comes down to he's open a lot of times early in the play. Jalen doesn't throw him the ball because he's either second guessing or doesn't have the arm strength to get it in there. I think it's driving AJ Brown crazy. I don't know that there's anything like personally between the two, though I've heard weird rumors, but I don't think that's the case.
Okay. And then non-sports question for you. And again, thanks so much for the time. We have a poll question up now. Do you have a shared calendar with your spouse or partner? Because that's been a big issue today. Both Perloff and EJ, different dog houses, but similar type of thing, all about scheduling errors. I've tried to tell them, and well, listen, Perloff's been married a long time. You got to have a shared calendar. It's the only way to make this thing work. You're married. What do you think?
Your lips to God's ears. The problem is, like, after I was a manager for like 15 or 20 years, whatever it is, I feel like every relationship in my life, I'm sort of like managing somehow.
Oh,
and
no.
My wife and I were missing things like this. And she would say, hey, remind me when you're not going to be here on a Friday or something. So I created a shared calendar. I showed her how to use it. And the day after I shared it 2 years ago was the last time she looked at it. So I think it is effective. I put everything in my calendar. I put my drive to work in my calendar. I learned that a long time ago. It's helpful for me, but it takes two to tango on that one, Maggie.
Yeah.
You know, and I couldn't get her to, I guess you could use this in a number of ways, but I couldn't get her to do it, you know? So I tried very hard.
Spike,
I couldn't get her to play along.
You'll be happy to know I haven't checked my work email since you left. So I think me and your wife are in the same bucket. Yeah. You're always frustrated. Yeah. And EJ's the same way. Like, we're not going on the calendar.
It is the ultimate radio show host thing is to not check the work email. It drives me insane still to this day.
Now that you're a host, do you check the work email?
Oh, once a day, I do. Yeah.
Actually,
even though I barely get any emails, I check it once a day. You work at a job for a big company. Check your email. Grow up.
This would be the best, because I am a company email checker, and Spike would actually write emails to that company email that he knew nobody was looking at. That's like, check it. You're not 6 years old.
Yes.
You're a grown-up.
You're an adult.
Check this email address.
We're all putting our head in the sand so we don't have to watch the HR videos. I'm like, well, I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, but then you know what happens? The day before they're all due, the manager gets a call from HR and says, if you don't get these 17 people to watch this video within 24 hours, they're not allowed to come to work tomorrow. And then you got to call every one of them and be like, please. And you, and then the host is like, but I don't know my password. It's like, oh! It's like, so you're just making your boss's life worse. I know. Just check your email.
Spike, you're the okay. one and only time I've ever really hard rooted for management. You are the only person I'm like, man, Spike, this is not easy. Let's make his life a little easier. No, we did that.
You
one.
Always did.
Thanks.
You always did.
All right, Spike. Well, congrats on the big get.
Yeah.
The Brandon Graham show. It's a lot of drama. It's great for our business, but also might be bad for the actual football side of this thing. So we'll stay tuned to that. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Spike.
Thanks, Spike. All right, Spike Eskin. He's the host of Afternoons WIP, Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Also, the Brandon Graham Show, which should be top of the resume now, and also the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast. Say the name.
I don't care about any of this. Get out there and do your job. Catch the football. I don't want to hear about vibes, Maggie. Run the play, execute the play, and win the football game.
The only reason why you don't want to hear about vibes is because your vibes are off.
Oh, Brandon, A.J. Brown has not lost a game that he's suited up this year. What do you mean the vibes are off? The vibes have presumably been off all year, and they've been nothing but trouncing people.
I know, but you got off to a 10-1 start last year as the Eagles, and then everything fell apart. There's still time for this to fall apart.
That was the defense.
It could be the personalities.
We have Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell now. Fixed everything.
It might not be the same thing every time. By the way, these underlying issues between Hurts and A.J. Brown, like, I know sometimes it's hard, I think, for guys to communicate, but they've got to communicate here. You got to open up.
What is it? What is A.J. Brown's record when he's on the field?
Well, clearly not good enough. If after a game, 10-0. After,
so
after a win, he's out here complaining.
I want him to hate Jalen Hurts even more and keep winning. An angry A.J. Brown is a good A.J. Brown, too. That's another thing. Like, you got to get him super engaged. Watch, he's going to manhandle a poor defensive back. He's going to take it out on them.
Poor Devontae Smith. It's like, wait, what? No one cares if I get catches?
No, Devontae Smith, it's a totally different issue. Every time he makes a tremendous catch, you're like, did he just survive that hit? Not just for the year, like, he's so good, but he's so skinny. They're totally opposite. There's plenty of issues, Maggie. You're not going to get me worried about this one. You had Stephon Diggs forever.
I know. I liked him. 855-212-4227. Teamed him when Jack with him, though.
You tell me he wasn't getting into Josh Allen? They at least got to the playoffs.
Yeah. Listen, better off without him. Okay. Lots more to do, and including two-time All-American from Penn State, Paul Posluszny, is going to join us in a few minutes. It's Maggie and Perloff. Guess how much hotel rooms are going for at the Nittany Budget Hotel for the weekend of Penn State's opening round college football playoff matchup against SMU, Perloff. The Nittany Budget Hotel. How much do you think that's going for per night?
Nah, 700.
It is going for $800 a night if you want to stay at the Nittany Budget Hotel, because State College Pennsylvania is going to be rocking as Penn State hosts SMU. And we're so pleased to be joined by, and this is not a hyperbole, a legendary player for Penn State. He's now being inducted into the National Football Foundation Hall of Fame. He's already in the College Football Hall of Fame. He was a two-time All-American, two-time Chuck Bednarik Award winner, Buckus Award winner. If we listed all the accomplishments, we wouldn't have time for the interview. Paul Posluszny, good enough to join us. Paul, congratulations on the NFF Hall of Fame induction. How are you feeling about your Nittany Lions?
Number one, thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. But most importantly, awesome situation for Penn State, right? How exciting is that for all of State College, Happy Valley, the state of Pennsylvania? Just so much excitement around this season. So we're definitely excited for it.
Paul, are you glad that they lost to Oregon and get to host a game? Be honest.
No, I mean, because, you know, Big Ten championship, but it was interesting. I was talking to the guys, you know, afterwards. I said, hey, how's the team feel? You know, it's a tough loss. And they're like, hey, let's go. You know, we have a home game now, home playoff game, you know, first in Penn State football history and in this type of environment. So just super excited about, you know, the opportunity ahead and the fact that, Beaver Stadium. You're going to have all that excitement, that live atmosphere. It's going to be great.
And Paul Posluszny is joining us, and you're from that area. We know how much Penn State means to you, so you're still really connected to the program. I mean, are you going to be at this game? I imagine you're not staying at the Nittany Budget Hotel, but I don't know if you can get a room anyway.
Not after I just heard those rates that you got that you said. No, but I mean, we will be. Unfortunately, we're not going to make this one, but my wife and I will definitely be cheering from back home. But just like I said before, just super excited for the guys, the program. You know, so Dan Connor, former teammate of mine, is now coaching linebackers at Linebacker U. You know, so I'm in touch with him, asking about the guys, see how things are going. But still very much just excited for the program and as involved as much as we can be.
All right, take the Penn State. You're not a Penn State alum anymore. Just objective. How good is this team? What are the strengths and the weaknesses?
I think when you look at them, so obviously defensive guys, so I'll go there first, right? When you look at what they've been able to do defensively all year long, very impressive. Obviously, with the Oregon scored some points, but that's okay. Oregon's an outstanding team. But you see what they do on defense, the type of players they have, the athletes that they have. To me, that really, really stands out. I think they're great on that end of the ball. And then offensively, as I said, you have stud athletes, you know, and some key positions. Quarterbacks playing well. It's just they're an exciting group to watch.
They got some good news, too, that their offensive coordinator, Andy Koltynicki, is going to be staying. They thought that he might take the West Virginia job, but it looks like he's going to be back. So that's exciting, I guess, to keep some continuity there. Paul Posluszny is joining us. He's getting inducted into the National Football Foundation Hall of Fame. He's already in the College Football Hall of Fame. He's a two-time All-American Penn State alum. Paul, obviously the team full of talent. I think the question that a lot of people outside of Penn State, and maybe some even in Penn State, would have is about James Franklin in a big game. You know, the record is not awesome. If you could talk to Coach before this game and you could say anything to James Franklin with this massive opportunity to host SMU in the first round of this college football playoff on your home field, what would you tell him?
I don't think Coach Franklin needs any advice from me. Let's put it that way. I mean, I know, you know, people can say about records in big games, but the main thing is Coach Franklin has done a great job of preparing his teams, getting ready to play, getting the team and environment excited about an opportunity like this. And they're going to be prepared. They'll be prepared, ready to go. I think this will be a great chance for them to kind of take that next step.
Paul, do you like the 12-team playoff? I think during your career, you clearly would have made this 12-team playoff. Is it better for college football that more teams have a shot?
I think it brings another level of excitement, right? Knowing that you can before you had to have a shot. You knew you had to go undefeated. You lost a game, and then all of a sudden, your national championship hopes were done. But with this, it's exciting to get more teams involved and to know that even if you have a very challenging game and you have one loss, that you still have a shot at the national title. I think that's great. I think that's great for the student athletes to have that type of opportunity.
Paul Posluszny is joining us again, National Football Foundation. He's getting to the Hall of Fame. So I imagine when you're about to do this, you know, memories come up, Paul, of your time at Penn State, trying to maybe, I don't know if you're giving a speech or something like that, but, you know, trying to think back, if you're looking back at your Penn State career, we're on in Harrisburg, we're on all throughout Happy Valley, this show. What are some of the memories you have from your time there?
I mean, once we found out about this, about the National Football Foundation, you immediately start to think of the people that made it possible. So think of Tom Bradley, who recruited me to go to Penn State, Ron Vanderlinden, the one I'm very fortunate to play for, the best linebacker coach in college football. And then you think of the guys that you played with, Sean Lee, Dan Connor, Tom Bahali. I mean, I could go on and on. But that's what immediately came to mind. It's the people that you got to play with, those special games that you were a part of, playing Ohio State in 2005 at a whiteout. Those are the memories that will be with you forever.
Paul, this is personal to our show, but I'm from Philadelphia, and I claim that I have rights to claim myself as a Penn State fan. I know you're from Pittsburgh or near Pittsburgh. I think Penn State is both a Philadelphia and a Pittsburgh team, and my co-host Maggie Gray says that is unacceptable.
I don't believe this. Philadelphia's college team is Penn State? That doesn't make sense to me, Paul.
Why? Well, let me ask you this. Why is that? Because so when we were going back to thinking about school, you were either from the Philadelphia side or the Pittsburgh side. But either way, you're Pennsylvania through and through. So I'm for the state of Pennsylvania being all Penn State.
I just think, how do you put the rivalries aside? I thought Philly and Pittsburgh kind of had a little bit of a friendly rivalry, no?
Oh, no, they definitely do. Yeah.
Let's be honest. And Pittsburgh people are a little tougher than the Philly people. I will admit that.
Depends on who you ask. On what day. Yeah. But no, there's a healthy rivalry that you think about, like Western Pennsylvania. You know, we would always, you know, WPIL football versus the Philadelphia leagues, you know, high school football. But there is a great friendly rivalry there. But once you get to at the college level, I said we're all Penn State through and through.
You know, Paul, another question for you. And again, congratulations and thanks for joining us this morning. Thanks for getting up early. We know you're on the West Coast today, so appreciate that. And it's just kind of, we find ourselves now talking a lot about coaching. And Bill Belichick now is maybe thinking about taking the North Carolina job, which is kind of throwing us all for a loop. You played against Belichick when you were with the Bills and the Jaguars, a lot of memorable games there. You know, it's ironic a little bit. Your college career, played for Joe Paterno, who was like the stalwart there. He was there for so long. Then you get to the NFL, and you kind of were victim to a revolving door of coaches with both the Bills and the Jags. And just the idea now that we're about to be in coaching firing season. In some ways, we've already gotten there. Just what the impact is on players and great players like yourself when at the NFL level, it's just constant revolving door of coaches and you got a new message every couple years. Can you just explain a little of what that's like as opposed to what you had in college, which was the stability of Joe Pa?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I didn't realize how fortunate we were at Penn State to have the same group until I got to the NFL. I just thought that's the way things were. And then all of a sudden you get to the NFL, and every 2 years, if you don't have success, you have to learn a new staff, a new defensive system, a new language, the way that we talk, the words, the way that we communicate. And to get to the level that you want to be at and to play great, you need consistency. So that's the challenge, is when you don't have success and then things constantly change, you're never able to reach that level of consistency where you're able to say, okay, I know the defense inside and out. I know what the guy next to me is supposed to do. And that's when you play really, really fast. That's when you play at your best. So with the constant change and turnover, that just slows down that process. That is a challenge for sure, to be able to fight through that, quickly adapt, and get to the level of play that you want to be at.
Do you think Belichick would be a good college coach? Again, I know you didn't play for him, but you definitely played against him, and especially that memorable AFC Championship game when you were with the Jags.
Well, ultimate respect for Coach Belichick and the way that he does things. I think, you know, so playing against New England, especially when I was with Buffalo twice a year, every year, they were always the most disciplined and the toughest teams that we played, regardless of who, whether it was Brady who was a quarterback or not. That was the mentality of Belichick teams. To have him lead a group of young men at the college level, I think would be, I think how he would have an enormous impact. Let's put it that way. The way that he does things, what he knows, just the prestige that he brings, it would be very impressive to see him lead a group of young men, especially in that type of environment where you can really, he could have an impact. He can mold them, teach them. It would be enormous to have the opportunity to play for a guy like that.
Paul, one thing we read is that Belichick might not go on recruiting visits all the time. I think the recruiting game has changed a little bit. I assume Joe Paterno came into your living room, right? What's it like to have Joe Pa walk into your house? To me, I love recruiting stories.
I was so nervous because this is, I mean, it's Joe Paterno. And even I know you're the one being recruited, but it's still, I just remember just almost in awe of Joe Paterno coming to a small town in Western PA to visit with us. I mean, he came to our high school as well. And it was like a celebration. Like it was a homecoming celebration when Joe Paterno came to visit. It's very special to have that type of not that type of coach, that type of man, you know, come and show and say that we want you to be a part of something. So that's impactful for sure.
Paul Posluszny joining us. Paul, thank you again for doing this. Congratulations, National Football Foundation Hall of Fame. You're in the College Football Hall of Fame, the two-time All-American, two-time Bednarik Award, Butkus Award. You did it all in college and at the pro level. Such a great career. Thanks for the time.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Appreciate that.
Congratulations.
I mean, that's an easy one, actually, for Joe Pa. He didn't have to even travel that far, and he's got a linebacker like Paul Posluszny playing right in the state. That was probably the easiest recruiting trip he ever went on.
Yeah, but can you imagine, to me, the fascinating thing is Belichick walking into the living room, just like, Coach, can I get you some tea? And I guess Bill Belichick is showing himself to be more sociable than we knew. He has this young girlfriend, whatever. I'm not even going to get into that. He's pretty funny on some of these shows, the Manning cast and McAfee, but it's just so funny. I mean, it's one thing to have Joe Pa, who's walked into a million living rooms, to be the first living room where Bill Belichick walks in and says, ma'am, can your son come to North Carolina? I'd be like, what is happening right now?
Day by day.
Yeah, I don't think that he'd be doing the living room thing.
But he's got to do, there was a report that he would not do that now, but he's got to do at least the quarterback living room. He's got to do some living rooms. He's got to go visit somebody.
I'm going to just put this out there. Unless the recruits' father or mother coached at the Naval Academy, like, I don't think Belichick's got time for parents. I can't imagine there's anything that would annoy him more than a parent having a strong opinion about how much their kid should be playing, what their kid should be making from NIL. Like, I don't think he's going to have any of he wouldn't have the patience for any of that.
Yeah, I know. That's why I think a lot of people, including myself, are wondering, is this the sport for Bill Belichick? I know it's more professional now, but these kids are 18 to 22, and I feel like 22 to 30-year-olds drove him insane.
Yeah.
How's he going to deal with guys who are right out of high school?
Did you see Brady and Edelman and Gronk making fun of this on Fox's Sunday morning show?
Great.
And Brady doing his Belichick impersonation saying, like, you can come here. I mean, we don't want you anyway, but you can come here if you want to come here. It's like, yeah, that's Belichick.
He gave tough love to Tom Brady. What about when he gives tough love to your four-star quarterback? And also, you're at North Carolina. You're not even getting the best players.
Well, you might now with Belichick.
I seriously doubt that. Because the other thing, too, when are you going to hire him? Because you're about to miss out on all these transfer portal quarterbacks. Better do it soon.
Again, I was getting kind of bullish on this, more bullish on it, until I read that story about what's going on with North Carolina behind the scenes. The head of the board of trustees is this blood feud with the athletic director. I mean, that just feels like one of those bad corporate relationships when they talk about culture and stuff like that. Like, I know Belichick would change a lot of it, but that sounds like he's walking into a hornet's nest.
That administration has been an issue for like 15 years.
They had Drake May and did 0.0 with the program, like nothing. This is a basketball school through and through. That, and it feels like a desperate move. If you're going to go to college and just kick God Napier out, go to Florida. I mean, geez, why are you going to North Carolina?
855-212-4227. Well, our thanks to Paul Posluszny. Fantastic talking to him about Penn State. It's going to be a big weekend. $800 a night if you want to stay at the Nittany Budget Inn.
For our Nittany Lions.
I've stayed there before.
What's it like?
It's cute.
I mean, when budget's in the name, you expect no frills.
But when things like this happen, then it's suddenly not so budget. I digress.
Yeah, apparently fall commencement is literally the next day. Talk about bad planning.
That's going to be crazy.
So half the hotel rooms, I guess, were already taken.
Yeah, that's... My mom has told stories about her commencement. It was spring, obviously, but that is a wild time on... And you know, Manny.
Oh, no, absolutely. And I grew up in a college town in Binghamton, right. So commencement weekend, people book this the day their kid gets accepted into the school. They'll book the weekend 4 years from then just to have it. Like, and I get it. 855-212-4227. There aren't a lot of hotel rooms. Okay, coming up, lots more to do, including the drama in San Francisco that we have not touched on yet. We do it next.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. I'm very conflicted about the Penn State bandwagon, Maggie.
Why?
Because I honestly don't even really think they should be in this playoff because they haven't played anybody, and I'm annoyed by the lack of strength of schedule. But if they win, I'm going to be super annoying, and I'm going to start wearing gear, and you guys are going to kill me.
I mean, if that's not just right on the nose for
I don't
Andrew
trust
Perloff.
James Franklin, though.
Well, of course you don't. He's 1-15 against top five opponents. And SMU's not a top five, but, you know, this is the biggest game. And you're hosting it on your campus?
I thought the fact that it really didn't matter who won that Oregon-Penn State game would be enough impetus to give James Franklin the win, and even that wasn't enough.
I think that's what Nick Costos told us on Friday, yeah. Right? Did he pick Penn State? No, he didn't. Did he?
He did. He said he liked Drew Aller.
Right. Yeah. No, but our thanks to Paul Posluszny, who just joined us, who's obviously Penn State legend and is getting to the NFF Hall of Fame. Not going to be at the game. If you're going to go, it's going to cost you. And I imagine that's not just for Penn State. I mean, all these cities that are hosting games, like, what do you think the hotels are going for in South Bend, Indiana?
Well, yeah, but they're used to that for the regular season. Is it probably just like a regular season game? The stadium still fits the same number of people, and they're all sold out. But
I just imagine,
the thing is, it wasn't planned for, so it's probably chaos to get these rooms.
Right, like last minute. Yeah. And yeah, I think so even more people would just come on the hopes that they get a ticket, you know, hoping for the miracle, stuff like that.
Well, what are the teams that are hosting like?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if you go hang out in South Bend, Indiana. It's probably cold and crappy out. I don't know.
Austin's going to be awesome.
Austin is impossible anyway.
But that's a big city.
Yeah.
South Bend, like, State College, there's like a cap on how many hotel rooms are in that city.
But they had big problems for that Georgia game, right? Where people could not get a room within an hour of Austin because, it is a big city.
They also had a Formula One race going on that weekend, remember?
Yeah, they had South by Southwest and Austin City. I think Austin City Limits was going on at the same time as a Georgia game. So they ran out of hotel rooms. I don't know what's going on this weekend, though. Yeah.
Bogish has headlines for us. What's up, Bogues?
These headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. Bogush. We spent last night wondering which disappointing team would give away Monday Night Football in Dallas. It was the Cowboys, adding another botched special teams play to their lore. This time, as you've heard all morning, Dallas blocked the late Bengals punt, but with the ball going past the line of scrimmage, Cowboy Amani Oruwariye touched it, allowing Cincinnati to regain possession. 50 seconds later, They had the deciding points.
Joe has the football. He'll look to throw. Fires a pass. Caught by Jamar Chase. Oh, down the sideline. 20, 15, 10. Touchdown! Bengals! 101 to go. A 40-yard strike to Jamar Chase.
Dan Hoard on Bengals Radio. Second touchdown of the night for Chase. He caught 14 passes for 177 yards. His team winning 27-20. It was Chase's fifth career game with at least 10 grabs, 175 yards and two scores. That's more than anybody else in NFL history.
Bogus. So Lapham was the voice on the behind him, right? The color guy for the Bengals?
I believe so.
I think, well, we used to play, so Dan Patrick, when I was at Dan Patrick, I was from Cincinnati, and every week the only guy we'd call was Lapham for Cincinnati because he's the craziest homer college guy in the NFL. You hear, he's Zolak on steroids. That one wasn't even bad, but yeah, he is insane. I thought you were a big fan of his. We talked about this.
For some reason, I had a thought in my head that he had retired. So that's
he
why
maybe
I,
did.
I
maybe
wasn't
was
sure
else.
That was, but that would be him because that's how he behaves in the booth.
I like a homer for NFL. Like, I don't know who does the Bills, but I like a guy yelling and screaming at the end.
Well, Chris Brown just got hired by the Bills, and Eric Wood is the color analyst.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't seem like a, you know, he's very analytical, Eric Wood.
Well, listen, he gets excited.
All right.
Moving on quickly, Duke QB Malik Murphy's back in the transfer portal. The former Texas Longhorn just threw a school record 26 touchdowns while leading the Blue Devils to 9 wins. The Knicks and Raptors alone on last night's NBA schedule. The light schedule because we have to gear up for the NBA Cup quarterfinals. They begin tonight with Magic Bucks, then Mavs Thunder. The Knicks won last night, by the way, 113-108 in Toronto. I guess their Elite Eight game is on Wednesday. Knick losers, friends, fans? What?
Elite Eight.
They're not listening.
No.
What?
Wow, this was your opportunity to talk. Bogus just teed you guys up to talk Knicks and no one was paying attention.
Wait,
now
guys,
we don't ask him about the Knicks for another week.
I was paying attention, but he called us losers.
As soon as he said Knicks losers, I was like, what? We won last night.
I was about to give you a you know, well-formulated answer, but you know what? Go scratch.
Bogus, when do they go to Vegas? The Final Four?
Yes.
They got to win the next game.
Got it.
Yeah.
Trae Young. That ass is grass.
My goodness, yeah.
I don't know what to say to that.
This is the type of thing. What happens on this show is a little, I think, of what I've heard happens with the Celtics before they won the championship, where Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum used to always compete before the All-Star game was, like, announced because they both were competing to make the All-Star game. And then once they made the All-Star game, then they could relax and become a show, become a team. We can't become a show until the stupid NBA Cup is over because half the people on the show love it and half the people on the show hate it, and we cannot come together as a unit until this ridiculous thing is over.
No. There's no way the NBA Cup is worth hating. We dismiss it as totally irrelevant. Nobody hates the NBA Cup. It's just nothing.
I stand corrected.
It's a nothing burger.
Okay, back to you, Bogus.
And let's not act as if the NBA Cup or the lack thereof would keep them quiet about the Knicks. They'd be yapping at Trae Young on a Tuesday in December.
Yeah.
I don't know what that game is called.
I blame you. Who needs to read the Knicks score? Don't give them the red meat.
Well, the first update, I just said the Raptors won. I didn't even say who they beat, and no one picked up on that.
The Knicks won.
I was trying to be the Raptors lost. Yeah, so trying to be dismissive. Listen, and it went right past.
Show's
it.
Wrapping up. I'm working on like five different things back here.
What's Manny doing?
He's doing stuff too.
Still
we're
hung
we're
over.
Busy
I'm looking,
behind this.
I'm looking handsome over here.
We're busy behind this glass, Bogus. Like Xavier Woods told Biggie, go back to your desk. That's a wrestling cut, by the way.
That's why I don't know it.
Jeez. Couldn't possibly made that worse than you did.
And that's the show.
Power close.
I'm only praying that Paul Posluszny hung around for that last segment.
Put that in your Google calendar with your spouse.
Thank you, EJ and Manny and Ray and Bogus and Kaplan, Paul Posluszny and Spike Eskin.